Some Elbow. That's the name of that group, by the way, in case you were wondering. It is Elbow. I love me some Elbow.
She loves her some Elbow.
I like the way the lead singer, like, he holds the microphone like he's kissing it, just the most intimate kiss. He's got his hands up around the mic like. I was like, ooh, do you kiss like this?
Yeah, it's totally. How you doing? You got a girlfriend?
According to that song,
according
to that song, it's supposed to be written about an ex-girlfriend. I don't really know. I read up on the lore. It's either about an ex-girlfriend or a friend that died. We're really not sure. There's an argument. If you feel like joining it, you can find it. You're not listening to Lunch with Ginger and Corey. And I...
They are?
Yeah, and I am Elbow.
Oh. Your Elbow? Oh, my God. Well, then I am the kneecap.
Okay. I was sipping water when you said that. Took everything I had not to just choke myself because it was swallowing going on, inhaling. You know how your body's multitasked.
Yeah, I know. I totally crack up, Corey. Corey loves me.
And right when you said that, my body was like, okay, we were doing two things at once already. We cannot laugh, swallow, and breathe at the same time. It's not going to happen.
Are you sure you should totally be able to do all that?
I should, but that would result in death, drowning.
No.
But anyway, I just
Leroy Jenkins.
You did it again.
Oh, you all didn't think you were gonna get away that easy, did you?
I was open. No such luck.
It's Wednesday. We gotta help you get over the hump, even if we help you jump over it. So have y'all been watching my tweets, my teasy tweets?
I wasn't. What were you teasing about?
Oh, just some juicy news and stuff that's going on. Ooh, man.
You got some juicy news? What juicy news do you have?
Man. Ooh, hold up. Let me wait for a minute. I got to clear my throat.
I think she's telling stories.
Indeed, I am. So we've been keeping you abreast. Ginger, no comment. We're keeping you abreast of what's going on.
She said breast.
If you haven't seen our Kickstarter project, that's in there, Ginger and her thing. If you've been keeping your abreast of what's going on with the whole game thing over in the UK and their troubles and woes, the latest today is that EA has pulled all of its new releases from game and game station schedules, with SSX being the last confirmed game from the publisher to be stocked until further notice. Several branches of both chains have confirmed that pre-orders for EA titles, including BioWare's Mass Effect 3, have been canceled.
Canceled?
Yes, with refunds of pre-order deposits being promised, plus a €5 credit. Game has issued an official statement on the issue, explaining the refund situation in full. According to GI.biz, the quote goes as follows: "We currently have a supply issue with regards to Mass Effect 3, which means the game and game station will not be able to fulfill orders for Mass Effect 3 at this time. We want to give customers as much notice about this as possible and provide them with a range of options ahead of launch. We appreciate that this is disappointing for our customers, and we apologize sincerely for the inconvenience that this will cause. We value the loyalty of our customers and very highly, and as a gesture of goodwill, we are providing the following. Any customers who have pre-ordered in store will have the opportunity to add €5 worth of reward points to their card if they visit us today through March 16th of this year, which is not going to do you any good if they shut down. So if they give you their $5, you better get in there quickly. Customers who have placed a deposit for the title will receive a refund as well as €5 worth of reward points between the first. Okay, you already just said that. Customers who have pre-ordered Oh, I'm sorry. There was a deposit and a pre-order. Okay, I'm sorry. There was a difference. There was a pre-order in store and then a deposit. So either one of those will get you €5 back, and you customers that pre-ordered online will be provided with an online voucher to the value of €5 to be spent on any purchase on their website. Gageindustry.biz has also obtained some images, which you can probably pop over to their site and find, or we may try to grab, but I cannot promise you because it was not given to us, so we try not to steal when we can help it. they've managed to obtain an image of the internal email that was circulated at Game and Game Station branches explaining the situation to the staff, with the company explaining it's struggling with credit terms from its publishing partners. They're saying, we gave the industry commitments. We committed to integrity and openness in our dealings and working with everyone equally. We committed to only stocking products in which we could get the right credit terms, regardless of the title or supplier. The email further goes on to state, we will not stock products if the terms are not right for our business. We will not sacrifice long-term credit requirements for short-term sales opportunities. As a result of us taking this position, a position we believe is critical to our long-term health as a business, we've taken the very difficult decision not to stock EA's March releases, including Mass Effect 3. That's not good.
That's not good.
Okay. Also, according to Eurogamer, Nintendo's Mario Party 9 is another title that Game will not be stocking on release day. Game's relationships with publishers have been increasingly strained. During February, it has failed to stock new releases, including the Wii game The Last Story, which I hear is excellent, and Namco's Tekken 3D Prime Edition. More significantly, Ubisoft's entire lineup for the PlayStation Vita was missing during launch week, although this has since made it to the stores following renegotiations. Both Game's headquarters and Electronic Arts have been approached for confirmation on these things, but no comment as of yet. That is horrible.
Horrifying.
It is. That is, I feel this deep, gnawing pit of angst in my stomach for them.
Something,
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry that this happens. Honestly, when it happens to, I'll tell you like this, if this was happening to EA, not that we would want to see people lose their jobs, but probably point and laugh a little bit. Most likely at the executives, because the people that they consider the little people will probably bounce back just fine. But you executives have it a little tougher when you lose a job, because that means you help run the company into the ground. But, well, not you solely, but you know how it goes. Usually you're blamed. But something like this, I've heard the usual complaints about Game, you know, oh, I didn't get my game on time or blah, blah. Same things we make about GameStop here. But I would not have wished them to completely shut down.
No, me either. And, sorry, folks, this is not looking good. Not looking good at all.
I do wish, if GameStop is not going to grab them, that Play and Trade, I think, if you can wait probably to the very last minute and then swoop in and just grab them up and explain Play and Trade over there, because EA already has a presence, you would clean up, because people, I don't think anybody globally really loves GameStop per se. I think you would clean up. Are you listening?
Mm-hmm.
Play and Trade. Do it.
Do it. All right. So what do we got? We got all sorts of weirdness going on today. All right. So I'm not quite sure what this one's
about. I'm chanting juice with the people listening. Juice.
Public knowledge launches the internet blueprint. Internet advocacy group Public Knowledge has launched a new website called the Internet Blueprint. The goal of this new hub is to develop bills that will strengthen internet laws and ultimately make the internet a better place. The site is the group's response to lawmakers in Washington who asked Public Knowledge for input on how to improve the internet. The top part of the Internet Blueprint site lists fully formed proposals, along with companies and organizations that support them. It also gives visitors a chance to show support by sharing the information with social networks like Facebook and Twitter. So visitors to see if their elected officials support the bill and gives them a way to contact them if they don't. Another part of the site allows the community to suggest proposals as well as a voice in proposals that other visitors have suggested. At a glance, some of the proposals at the top of the website include curb abuse of copyright takedowns, ensure openness in international IP negotiations, permit lawful uses of copyrighted content, reduce copyright abuse and overreach, and shorten copyright terms. Proposed additions currently being hashed out include First Sell for Users, Not Owners, the Free Internet Act, Community Broadband Act, Digital Transfers, and Create an Office for Innovation. All right, so if you want to go over and check this out, this is internetblueprints.org. And I'm going to be going and checking this out in a little bit just to see what they have.
Yeah, how is it different from these two other websites we have dedicated to the same cause?
Yeah.
And ECA.org, and there's a couple other, PopFox.
Yeah, I know. Oh, I'm not going to yawn. Oh, people, I got a cold. All right, so I know a lot of other people have this going on. The one thing that concerns me is this being government-backed. Our government isn't exactly known at the moment for being hands-off, staying out of things that they shouldn't.
She just went all spacey then when she was talking.
I did. I'm sorry, I still don't feel good.
Bad ginger bad. Okay.
We can't trust them to not be biased. There we go. That's
is
the
that
word
what
you
wanted to get out?
Of. Yes. She my brain it. Is.
Aw, Ginger. Poor Ginger.
Oh, I know. Your Ginger has a cold.
Oh, she's a poor Ginger. Yes, she is. Some people are like looking at their speakers going, ew. stop it.
Baby talk back and forth. It's very cute.
Too much sweetness anymore. She's the only person that does that with me. Other people try to. So that's why it's fun to do it, Ginger. Everybody else is like, I'm going to hit you if you don't stop. That doesn't bode well.
Back.
Yeah, so of course that doesn't bode well for them if they try to hit me. So.
No. Corey will take your head off.
I hit back twice as hard. Okay.
And then I will take off your kneecaps.
See?
Mm-hmm.
We rolling forward deep. Okay. Some of you out there have heard us mention billions of times that we love us some digital shoes like nobody's business, but apparently we are not the only ones. A lot of you out there, you don't like just digital shoes. You like anything virtual goods. Consumer spending on viral goods, according to VentureBeat, has doubled since 2009, according to a survey by Visa's PlaySpan Digital Monetization Division. And the total U.S. market value for virtual goods grew 28% to $2.3 billion in 2011. PlaySpan had the survey from Franklin Magistrates surveyed 600 people and found that gamers spend an average of $64 on virtual goods during the course of the year. That's the equivalent of one marquee console game. One in four consumers bought a virtual good in 2011, up 100% from 2009. I said 100%. From 2009, 100% among U.S. gamers, 35% have purchased a virtual good, up 50% over 2010. U.S. male gamers, get this, were twice as likely as female gamers to buy virtual items such as better weapons or decorations in a game. So you would think it's us. It's you guys.
You would think, but no.
Consumer acceptance of virtual good represents a huge growth and opportunity, not just for game publishers, but for all digital content companies, said Carl Mehta, who's the chief executive of PlaySpan. He says, we believe we will continue to see a positive growth trend in games, that virtual goods will expand across multiple industries such as music, movies, social gifts, and just a few. To the data should help producers and distributors of all digital content fine-tune their strategies for reaching audiences across a variety of platforms. The data showed that 50% of males 24 and under bought a virtual good in 2011. By comparison, only 15% of us girly types in that age group made the same claim. Women ages 35 to 44 showed the largest participation in virtual goods purchases at 23%. I do believe that. The reasons for buying goods include enhancement of, enjoyment of, and performance in the game experience. About 59% do it for a better experience and 49% to get to a higher level. About 35% do it to decorate themselves. That would be us. And 33% to improve their skills. About 27% do it to beat their friends. And 14% do it to show off a brand. Among those who have not bought a virtual good, 70% show a willingness to do so. And 1 in 4 gamers bought a virtual good as a gift. About 40% bought within a game application, 42% bought prepaid game cards to retail stores, 40% bought in an online store, and 16% bought at a game publisher's website. That is amazing.
That is hot, is what that is.
It is kind of sassy. Well, yeah. While I buy me some new digital shoes. Ooh.
Yeah, I totally bypassed the shoes and bought a couch with money that I took pictures to make.
You know, you could have just asked me for the couch I had. That thing is copyable. I don't know who made that couch. I do thank you because it was 85 lindens. The couch that's in my store, the two couch and two chairs,
mm-hmm.
That thing, the whole set was 85 lindens, and it's very nice, and it's copyable.
That is nice. Well, the one I had my eye on is mesh.
Oh, it's like that, huh? You think you're too good for my couch?
I'm so too good for your couch.
Beep your couch.
Okay.
My couch is awesome, dude. So cool. I love my couch. All right. So, OMG Pops, Oh My God Pops, latest mobile game, Draw Something, hits number one on the App Store charts, cracks 100 million drawings in less than 3 weeks. Oh My God Pop, OMG Pop, baby, whatever, is the leading developer and publisher of social and mobile games. You know, they always say this, the leading.
You gotta lie a little bit, unfortunately.
I guess so.
All right, so today they announced that its viral smash hit Draw Something has been downloaded for over 4 million times and has reached number one in multiple iTunes App Store categories, including number one free app, number one paid app, number one word game, and number one puzzle game. It has rapidly grown from more than a game to something of a national obsession. Really? I've never even heard of your game. Just saying. All right, so it's taken over entire schools, workplaces, and even whole countries. In Sweden, 1 out of 5 iPhone users have downloaded the application. Who pays attention to Sweden? All right, so Dan Porter, CEO, says we have been shocked at how fast it has grown, and the usage has been insane. We are seeing 1 million drawings made every hour. With almost, you know, at least 999,000 of those are penises. All right, so with almost no press coverage whatsoever, the game has become a phenomenon by exploding on social media platforms such as Twitter and Instagram. Yeah, totally, it's got to be penises. All right, so people are taking to these social channels to share their drawings of penises, and this is causing the game to spread. Celebrities from Questlove to My Chemical Romance have been drawing and tweeting about the game as well. Yeah, that's a lot of penis. All right, so I've got this up on GameMatrix.com this morning. If you want to check this out, I promise there are no penis pictures over there.
Unless you just really want them, in which case, sign up. We have an adult gamer section, sort of.
I don't think there
isn't, but there could be. At any point in time, at that. You know how we roll. Well, according to a new study, games are pointing the finger back at someone else saying that they're bad. That's right. Video games are depicting religion as violent and problematic, according to a new study and an interview written by one Miss Stephanie Fogel, who we try to give credit to our girls, wrote a wonderful article over at VentureBeat. She did an interview with one Greg Peralt, who's a doctoral student in the University School of Journalism, recently examined 5 titles that incorporate spiritual themes in their storylines. Those would be Mass Effect 2, Final Fantasy 13, Assassin's Creed, Castlevania, Lords of Shadow, and The Elder Scrolls Oblivion, and he found that each game problematized religion by closely tying it to violence. Imagine that. In most of these games, he says...
Yeah, I totally saw that last night, yesterday. I mentioned it right at the end of the show, and I was like, I don't have time. Oh, my God, that's a huge article. Thursday. Oh,
it's a good study. He said, in most of these games, there is a heavy emphasis on the Knights Templar and the Crusader motifs. He said, not only was the violent side of religion emphasized, but in each of these games, religion created a problem that the main character must overcome, whether it is direct confrontation with the religious zealots or being haunted by a religious guilt. Peralt also told VentureBeat his study did not originally focus on violence. He says, in general, I tend to think that studies of violence in video games are passé. He says, I set out interested in the depictions of organized religions versus spiritual religions, expecting to find organized religions depicted far more poorly than spiritual ones. However, he says, a game that connects religion with violence isn't necessarily portraying it negatively. He uses the character Thane in Mass Effect 2, who's quite hot, by the way. Hi, Thane. As an example, a deeply spiritual assassin who joins in the player's quest to save the galaxy from the Reapers. This is an interesting case, he says, because religion does inform the violence, and although it allows for it, he says his religion basically says that the body and soul are separate, so the body can be used as a tool for someone else, and thus his assassinations weren't anything he bears guilt for. Interesting concept. The person who hired him bears the guilt, but Thane still feels guilty. He thinks about his victims. He prays for his victims. So is religion violent? Not necessarily, although it allows for violence he commits and must commit in order to save the galaxy. While he cites Mass Effect 2 as an example of a game that portrays its spiritual themes in a positive light, Perrault says Assassin's Creed is the most critical title he researched. I have to agree with him there. He said the game revolves around the search for something called the Peace of Eden. It allows you to control people's minds. The argument is that the parting of the Red Sea turning the water into wine, the resurrection, all of it was courtesy of church leaders who used the Peace of Eden to convince people a miracle occurred. Ooh. The giveaway man. The Templars, who appear to be exactly what they're called, want it so they can use it to control people. The assassins, who are depicted as enlightened era secularists, want to keep it for them. As it turns out in the end, I won't tell you. Because that would be giving away the game. Some of you haven't finished, like myself. Aware of the problems that it could cause, Ubisoft does put a disclaimer on each Assassin's Creed title saying that the game was designed by a multicultural team. You know, I never saw the reason that when I saw that, it never occurred to me that they did it to protect themselves from religion. But it is interesting. And we probably will be discussing this Thursday night, because you all know religion, ironically enough, is one of my hobbies aside from gaming. And then if you put the two together, which when I'm playing Assassin's Creed, I found to be very well written. It's something good to talk about. So it's going to be juicy tomorrow night. What? Right, Ginger, who was muted? Ginger, are you there? Did you?
Oh my God. No, I'm all. I was all talking and did.
Yeah, if I don't stop and give you a yeah, you know I don't hear you, woman.
I know.
You know.
Right. I know. I'm horrible. What am I going to talk about? Blacklight Retribution enters open beta.
Oh.
Hey. More action awaits more players in the free FPS to beat. All right. So, Perfect World Entertainment. Brings gamers one step closer to the future of war with Blacklight Retribution's open beta. Competitive shooter fans can finally experience next generation visuals, polish, and gameplay in a tightly presented free to play package. The Blacklight Retribution open beta features all new content, new multiplayer maps, playable hero characters, data nodes. All right, so if you want to check this out, put up at GameMetrics.com this morning, and maybe even a trailer, so head over there and check that out.
Ah, okay. Good morning to Sam Hain out there. He says, I heart Gamer Girls Radio. That is all.
We love you. We love you, too.
We love the love. Okay, yes. I got a short one and then another long one. Do you mind? Sickly?
You go right on ahead.
Poor baby.
I know. I'm so... I did not want to get out of bed this morning. I was, like, so tired. Everything hurts.
Stop. You're making everybody else feel the way. Hush up, you.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I give y'all kisses.
There you go. You give them kisses. All right. APB is asking, why so serious?
Wow.
Well, actually, they're not. But there is a Joker Mystery Box is now available in the Armus Marketplace. If you play APB, each box will randomly award you with prizes like weapons, premium days, and more. Gosh, to go get some of that. Premium days? Oof. Joker Mystery Box will also, it's called Joker Mystery Box 1, which implies more, also a never before released weapon. So, unfortunately, you do have to buy the box. It's 91 G1C. You can unwrap the mystery for just a mirror. Let me repeat that, 91 G1C. These boxes are also available in the Armus Marketplace for a limited time, so you go ahead and get yours. You can also, if you're low on G1Cs, go ahead and pick you up a couple. I don't know the price on them, unfortunately, because we didn't get any. We just kind of run around running over people. Or a Ginger, what is it? Ginger shoots them in the face. I mug them for their cell phones and money.
Well, the face, back of the head, whichever.
Did I show you my brass knuckles, by the way?
You did not. You got brass knuckles. Oh,
I got brass knuckles. Those are lovely.
She has been holding out.
It's a one-hit kind of thing with the brass knuckles. You know how you have to hit them a few times when you have your fist?
Uh-huh.
I hit them and they just go down. Bam! Oh, it's wonderful. Okay.
I think I'm a little bit jealous about this.
I prefer to use them when all possible. Yeah, I just want to punch them. It's good.
Yeah.
Track of the things. Yeah. Okay, so on to my second one. THQ, as you know, is going through a rough patch, but it still has some big titles on the far horizon, including Guillermo del Toro's Insane and Valhalla Game Studios' Devil's Third. Valhalla is the current studio of Outspoken, Dead or Alive, and Ninja Gaiden creator Tomo... I suck. Tomonobu Itagaki. I'm sorry, dude. Itagaki. I cannot talk today. And I usually say his name so perfect. He mentioned in an interview with Game Informer how different it is to work with an American publisher versus a Japanese one. He says, what's been working with THQ for 2.5 years, mm-hmm. and when I was working in Japan, I was at the publisher myself. I can't really compare because it's different. Circumstances are very different. I really understand what the publisher thinks because I used to be the publisher myself. It's one thing that's completely between the Eastern publisher and the Western publisher is the budget. He says, I've made more than 30 games, and if you put a little bit more money into the one I'm making now, Devil's Third, I could make all 30 of the games I made before. The budget you use for promotion is completely different, too. Those are the biggest differences. Itagaki also believes that it is now is not the time for the next generation console release, and he may be right about that. Our economy is sucking still.
Yeah,
it's getting better, but it's not ready for us to be, you know, we're out and we
need
money. He says, if I didn't have any knowledge of the economy or if I were young, I'd want to release my game on the new platform. The decision I am making now is that if I release my next game on a next gen console, or if someone releases a next gen console, then all the publishers, developers, and players will be so confused and everything will be messed up because of the economical situation. He says, the U.S. economy is bad. The EU economy is bad. The Japanese economy is bad. This is not good.
Everybody's economy is awful, atrocious, yes. Really, really, really bad.
He says, this is good timing for the release of next generation console. This is just not for the game industry. He says, I can say the same for customers. Devil's Third is still set for a release for next year from THQ, so keep your fingers crossed that they make it.
Yay! I will totally cross my fingers and my legs for you. You're very nice.
Hey!
What? I said cross. I didn't say uncross.
Why weren't they crossed in the first place is my question.
Yeah. What can I say?
Ginger.
What?
I've been hanging around Snow too much. That's it. I'm going to separate you two.
No.
I'll separate you Snow. Yes.
No.
Yes.
All right, so in celebration of Atari's and Pong's 40th, oh my God, really, 40th anniversary.
Yes.
They announced the official start of its Pong Indie Developer Challenge, calling on entrants to reimagine the classic game for a chance to win up to $100,000 and see their vision go from concept to market. Beginning February 28th of 2012, the developers can submit their original take on Pong for iPhone, iPad, and iPod Touch devices, with finalists launching their games on the App Store later this year under the Atari brand. Winning entries will also receive a long-term publishing agreement with Atari that includes development, creative resources, and full marketing support. Submissions are now being accepted until March 31st of 2012. Following the success of Atari's recent indie-developed mobile games, including Asteroids, Gunner, Atari's Greatest Hits, and Breakout Boost, the Pong Indie Developer Challenge opens the door for up-and-coming developers to deliver the next smash hit. The judging panel will include notable industry figureheads, including original Atari founder Nolan Bushnell, infamous Pocket God creator Dave Castellanuovo, Mike Schramm, and select members of Atari's executive team. Atari fans can participate by submitting their own votes during the selection of an Atari community winner. All right, so this is awesome. If you head over to GameAndMatrix.com this morning, I am pretty sure, possibly, I have this up. If not, you can head over to Atari.com/ Pong Developer Challenge.
Every time somebody says Pong, I remember... You think of what?
I think of beer pong.
Well, I think of there was a man my mother used to date who actually had an original pong table from a bar in his house. It was in the middle of his living room.
Ooh.
And I would sit and play with that thing for hours. And when I say it was huge, it was like a table. You could sit on either side, and that's how you played. You know, it was,
yeah.
You know, like you'd play a board game, but you were on one side, the person was on the other, and you'd sit and push the button. And there was, I imagine, if you were in a bar, there was places to put your beer. There had it had a built-in ashtray. Imagine that, like, ashtray. Yes, you used to be able to smoke back then at the bar. So it had an ashtray, had a place for your beer, and it had a glass top that covered, you know, the screen. So if you did manage to sit your beer somewhere above the game, then, you know, it wouldn't mess up the screen. It was really cool. I often wonder what happened to that table. I kept trying to get him to give it to me. I said, you don't even like video games. Give it to me.
Give it to her. Give it to her.
Give it to me. happened to that table? Look, I don't wonder what happened to him, but what happened to that table? That is...
I wonder what happened to that table. Mm-hmm. She's so evil and horrible, and I am laughing.
Well, I don't know if we put this up yet. Ginger, have you put up some interesting news about Brick Force yet?
Not today, I don't think.
Well, I shall in just a moment because we got to share with our peoples. But those of you who are interested, Brick Force closed beta is now ready to go.
Who is it?
Yes, as of yesterday evening, Brick Force closed beta phase was unleashed. The first selected players are blasting and building their way through Brick Force already. And with more will be released into the servers during several waves, those who wish to access Brick Force servers to build, share, and play can still register over at their brand new Sparkle site, brick-force.com. Yes, it's spelled just like it sounds. Just and dash is not spelled out, by the way. I feel like I need to say that to some people. Just in time for yesterday's beta launch, the Brick Force website was placed online. Visitors can expect a range of tutorials, media, community functions, and features that will be expanded upon. A community forum will also be implemented very soon. In the current test phase, Brick Force is playable on PC in 6 languages, and the browser-based version will be within the next weeks. Furthermore, sandbox mode will be playable on smartphones and tablets thanks to the Unity 3 engine. The open beta phase and official release will follow later this spring. Brick Force Build Share Play is being called. Sandbox Shooter allows players to create worlds and maps that they've always dreamed of brick by brick. They can also share these virtual playgrounds with the community and use them as a backdrop for fast-paced shooter hunts against fellow players or computerized opponents. This comic-style online game is built on the Unity 3D engine and will be playable directly in a web browser. The sandbox mode, in which players use simple building blocks to construct complex environment, can be played on social networks and mobile devices such as smartphones and tablets. Brick Force is being developed by Korean game developer EXE Games as a co-production with Infernum. The closed beta was launched again yesterday, February 28th, and open beta will follow in spring of this year. Several language versions are planned, so more information, again, can be found at brickforce.com. This Minecraft, y'all better watch out.
Yes, yes, y'all had better. All sorts. That Minecraft, and everybody is playing it. There's a friend that I cannot get away from that horrible thing.
I know why, because I made a mistake and downloaded it on my Android phone one day, mm-hmm. and even though I had no idea what the hell I was doing, I was so interested. People were talking to me. I was like, I have some boards here and something. I don't know what I got to do with them, but I got to do back away. Stop talking to me. You see I'm busy. I'm trying to craft something.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, is that Minecraft? Yes.
I know. And she's constantly building, like pink stuff all over the place. I'm like, really? Stop with the pink. All right. So who will you invite to your Mario Party? Rivals become teammates to battle Bowser in Mario Party 9 coming to Wii. Originally released in January 2012, so you thought the party season was did I really read that part?
Yeah.
So you thought the party season was over. Well, it's only just begun as Mario and friends are back in all new entertaining family board game. Mario Party 9 launches across Europe for Wii. Oh, this happens on the 2nd of March. The latest installment in their ever-popular Mario Party franchise introduces all new game modes, battles against bosses, and playable characters from the Mushroom Kingdom, making Mario Party 9 as a party that everyone will want to be part of. All right, so Party Adventure is a new board game mode which rewrites the Mario Party rulebook by allowing 4 people to move through the board in 1 vehicle. Players take turns as captain of the vehicle by hitting dice blocks to move the party forward, hoping to land on lucky spaces. The vehicles also help to streamline gameplay and keep everyone involved in the action. New strategies include find the best routes and positions during your turn, while also pushing your opponents into trickier spots. This game mode challenges you to work with and against your rivals to compete in exciting mini-games to get the stolen mini-stars back from Bowser and restore the shimmering night sky. Mario Party 9 includes 80 brand new mini-games accessible to all Mario fans, in which we'll find players making pizzas, escaping haunted mansions, and even racing snowmobiles.
You've never played Mario Party? I forget.
No.
Girl, you're missing out on some fun.
I know. This does sound fun. All right, so Mario Party 9 features an array of your favorite Mario characters from the Mushroom Kingdom, as well as introducing a few characters which are completely new to the Mario Party series. Choose your favorites and keep the rivalry between you and your friends alive, as in Mario Party 9, you don't have to play against the computer in multiplayer. In the board game or the mini games, and choose to play with up to three of your friends. All right, so I have this up on GameAndMatrix.com this morning. Head over and check it out.
Jay is not right. He says, that's it. The Mario Party franchise destroyed. Game round. I'm coming with you. I'm sorry, Jay, I can't come with you because I was never into any of the Mario stuff. I never played any of the Mario games growing up. Never wanted to. And then when I got to be an adult, I got sucked in. And what sucked me in, ironically, was Mario Kart for the DS, because I could play with anybody. There's always somebody awake somewhere. And, you know, of course, most of my friends are American, but I could play with anybody anywhere. Some of you are asleep at 3 in the morning, you know. Well, Ginger's up, but Ginger may have had a DS at the time. Would have been nice. And I just sit down and I would just start playing. Somebody's always playing, and I would just be racing and yelling at people. There was also Metroid Prime on the DS, which a lot of people did not know. You could talk to people while you were playing on your DS. This is a handheld with a built-in microphone. It was awesome. And I've told this story a million times because it was just the most amazing thing to me. But I'm one of those people who yells at the screen when I'm, you know, yelling things. So I'm fighting with this guy, and I'm yelling. I'm like, yeah, beep, beep. You know, I'm cussing at him. Come on, bring it, bring it. And then, you know, the game was over. I was like, yeah, I showed you. And he just says very quietly, I can hear you. And, you know, because I have my earbuds, and I was like, oh, you can, who is this? You can hear me. He's like, yes, I can hear you. I was like, I didn't know. I'm so sorry. That's just the way I play. That's the way I play. I didn't mean it. You know, I didn't mean it meanly. But it was awesome. And again, could play with, you know, at any time. So a lot of features, when we talk about how awesome the DSs are, those are the things that they don't tell you about on TV that they build into the games that makes it just a really awesome handheld console. And I don't know that PSP or Vita can do that. I did like a game on the PSP that I never got to play. I think it was called Infected. And it was kind of like anybody that you came in contact in the multiplayer mode, you spread your own infection, your DNA. And I got to meet the developer, and I told him it was a brilliant game, and it was, you know, going to change the way gaming worked, and it did. I think a couple of people made similar things. And there was even a live-action version at PAX a couple of years ago, where if you walked up to somebody that had an infected little sticker on, they were given some stickers too. You stick one of your stickers on them, bam, I got you. You're infected. So I love those kinds of things. Beautiful. I'm sorry, Jimmy. There will be no destroying of the Mario franchise. You gotta play those, Ginger.
I will have to, because I haven't, and apparently I have totally missed out. So
there was one. This was my favorite. There's one where you can be any one of the characters, you know, Princess Peach, any of them, and you're on a chalkboard. It's called the Eraser Race. So the eraser starts falling, and you're hanging on to it, and you have to be the last person to stop yours before you all hit the bottom. So it's kind of like a game of chicken. who's brave enough to, you know, stop? I always win. I'm like right there at the bottom, hanging on. Just really, I stop it right there. I'm like, damn it. That's right, baby. That's right.
That's awesome.
It's your turn. Oh, I know I get to chat. You gotta cut me off when I do that.
No, I like it. And you know I'm so not in it today. I'm sorry. I'm trying, but I'm
poor baby. Well, you people out there that's got you some Facebook and you got a brand you're advertising on Facebook will probably love this or hate it.
I got a brand that I'm advertising on Facebook. It's called
Independent Gamers
Network. Thank you.
Independent Gamers Network. Okay, well,
awesome. Go check it out.
Yes, make sure you check it out. All right, so there's a few people that say they love the new timeline features for the personal profiles. I personally don't like them at all. I don't. But they're now launching it for the brand pages too. We're not turning ours on until they absolutely force us to. I'm just going to tell you now. And I'm not going to like it at all, even after I'm forced to turn it on. I think it's overkill, honestly. But at Facebook's headquarters yesterday, they showed off their new pages, the new design and stuff. But all it is supposed to be like a little facelift for Facebook. You get those big glossy cover-up photos, the whole media highlights. I think it might work well for us on our page, you know. But not a personal page. I don't want it.
No, I don't understand the point behind it on a personal page. It's like, dude, you're not like a rock star.
Well,
you're my second grade teacher.
Well, supposedly Timeline has launched a new way for people to design your profile, but as Facebook designers and developers see it, and corporations and other people would like to have this little feature too, they're saying that the new Facebook pages will now embrace the quote-unquote whole concept that organizations have identities, that a nonprofit, a sports team all have identities that they want to express. Basically, they're adopting what they were missing, which is what MySpace had.
No, and it's still actually fully make my page, they are not.
True.
I liked that about MySpace. I was actually learning to code doing that on my own on MySpace.
Yeah, it was actually teaching you something. Facebook design guru, whose name is Sam Lesson, who came up with the timeline design. Sam, if I ever meet you, I'm slapping you. He said that the launch of the timeline, that the new design's distinctly emotional appeal was intentional. And yesterday, product director Gokul Rajaram reiterated that concept with a brand new
emotional
brand focus
appeal.
Bit.
Yeah. I thought, and I was like, ew. Is that an emotion?
Yes, yeah, it's called nausea. We've seen that most businesses have a core group of loyalists, but those loyalists also have friends. We've made it easier for people to connect with a business through the lens of their friends. It's a much more personalized experience. It says when you go to Facebook now, instead of just seeing a wall of information or updates, you'll first notice how many friends of yours already like the page. How is that different from before? You'll also see highlighted tips from your friends as well as whether to check in or a story about that brand. Since you can very quickly see what your friends think about the organization, pulling friend activity is going to be one of the more powerful aspects. He said Lesson is saying that friend activity makes things better and leads to higher engagement. It gives the average Jane or Joe an immediate reason to feel connected to a brand page, and it starts the storytelling off with a more powerful note than before. Okay, you know what, Facebook? Here's the thing, I saw this when I was watching, what's the movie, The Social Network, when they did something on Zuckerberg last weekend on CNN, this whole, you know, how he started it.
Yeah.
And his whole thing is, what I keep hearing them say is, we want to recreate, you know, this great experience of emotion and pulling emotion out of people. And what you all are not understanding is, I love the internet. I'm on the internet, you know, good portion of my day, but you cannot recreate some of this emotional attachment because you're missing almost all of the senses required to create that emotional attachment. The being able to touch it, the being able to hear it. Yeah, you can see it, but that doesn't always elicit an emotion. Case in point, when the Dead Island trailer came out, you could hear. You had a second sense. In my estimation, you have to at least have two senses involved. I have to be able to hear it and see it. It can't be that I'm looking at pictures of Ginger holding a kitten and I go, aw, if I can hear Ginger talking, or I hear the kitten meowing, and then I see it, that makes an emotional connection. Right now, nothing. I'm looking at pictures on Facebook, and these are sometimes people I know, and they're like, oh, look at, you know, I did this. I'm like, eh, whatever, and I move it along. And it's people I know and care about. I'd be like, yeah. But Dead Island trailer, I heard the music, I saw what's going on, you know, you had to slow this down, the zombies, and that elicited an emotional response. You cannot do this with Facebook yet unless you're going to go the full way of MySpace and start letting us add songs. Remember, we used to be able to have your theme song on MySpace, your one song that you liked. You had your journal, which Facebook didn't have. Some people actually like to write, like us here. We like to write.
Yes. Yes. Loved to write.
It was originally in Facebook, but for some reason it's either disappeared or we can't find it.
Stop taking our fun stuff away. We don't like that.
What is wrong with your friend, Jay?
Talk about your research. I could start naming things, but...
He says, you know how I play chicken, driving 200 miles an hour against traffic in Need for Speed Hot Pursuit. That's not really the same. You and
not
I.
Not so much, no.
Me and him do that all the time anyway. When we play Grand Theft Auto. Ginger, when are you going to pick it up so we can go to Mayhem?
No, I know. I need to.
That's Mayhem. You will laugh so hard. It has no point to it. It's just Mayhem. And the whole helicopter business, I was not joking. Jay and I had a whole helicopter battle. I don't know if we were after the police or each other. I can't remember. I remember seeing helicopters crashing and there was this giant explosion and people were screaming and running. It was beautiful. And I had jumped out of my helicopter onto the top of a building as it was falling. So yeah, you could do stuff like that.
Wow, that sounds kind of cool.
It was so movie-esque. I just rolled out of the helicopter. It was looking out like, ha ha.
I can totally see you do that too.
What now? Oh, I love me some GTA. can't wait for 5 to come out. Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait.
I know. I've been hearing that for like months now. I can't wait. I want GTA 5. I want GTA 5.
You know what? If there's never any more games made again, I need GTA and I need me some Sims. I'm sorry to say that about EA, but that is the one game, the weakness that I have with them. If they ever make another good Sim City, they'll have.
Have a horrible weakness for them.
Yeah. The Sim City too, but they don't make any more Sim Cities. They need to get Will right back in there and do me a really good Sim City is what I need.
Yes.
All right, Danger.
What have I got? Pirates and secret special message to syndicate pirates.
You said all that perfect for all of this. Wow. Are you guys depressed? He didn't lisp or stutter. Go, Ginger.
Maybe I should be sick more often. All right, so Starbreeze hid an interesting Easter egg within the disc for the PC version of Syndicate, a piracy-style text file called syndicate-sbz.nfo. The file, stylized after the calling cards pirates leave in cracked versions of software, offers some silly instructions on how to crack the game, followed by a more serious appeal to those pirating and cracking games. It says, "Come work for us." Are you bored with watching from the sidelines, ready to make the switch? The file reads. Do you have considerable talents in any of the following areas? Art, modeling, texturing, sound design, programming, game design? If you meet one or more of these criteria and want to be part of the fun, email us at jobs@starbreeze.com today.
I'll do it.
They say it's not uncommon occurrence to see a hacker or serial cracker switch sides and join the legitimate world of software development. Torrent Freak claims that one man who once went by the pseudonym SS Captain as a member of the 1990s cracking group Catharsis went on to work for a major European game development studio. His name, Marcin Iwinski, CEO of CD Projekt.
Wow.
Yeah, so see, y'all don't all have to be Robin Hood, digital Robin Hood, whatever.
Well, I forgot.
What'd you forget?
I managed to introduce the 16-year-old to Indestructible Canon. They were quite impressed with his work. He's another example of some of you out there, you young boys out there who say you want to get in the industry, and I run across so many of you in Second Life, and you have no idea what to do, and you have no idea how talented you are, I think is what gets me most. This is your time. When you hear us announce jobs like this, this is when you jump in, because you are the person they're talking to. You don't have a degree. And you, for some reason, think you're not talented enough to get into the gaming industry, but you are. If you're able to make full body armor in Second Life, or you're able to draw things and people know what they are, before you have to tell them, you know, they don't say, "Is that a blob?" Or they say, "Hey, that's, you know, Mickey Mouse. You know, I can tell that's Mickey Mouse." You're the person they're looking for. Take the job and run.
Yes. Take the job and run.
Take it. They want you. They're looking for you.
Mm-hmm.
I got a job.
You got to tell me how that turns out for him.
Well, I don't know what they're going to do. I've put them in contact with each other. I don't know if they can actually use him. But at the very least, since he heard, you know, consider this my good deed, since he heard them say he's good, I'm sure that meant a lot to him. It helped put those fears to rest, because he really liked the game industry. Some people are just unsure. They don't realize they have talent. So now he knows this is an actual game developer. You know, they've done some work that you already admired, the Transformers franchise. So, you know, if they're saying that you're good, especially being 16 and they said you've not been trained, then you know you've got some talent. Don't think you can't do it. Get out there and do it. And hell, I told y'all, I worked on a game and I have no programming experience. I talked my way into it. Didn't get shipped, but hey, if I can get in there, you can
get
in there.
Yes, exactly.
Some of you are way more talented than I am. All right. Whew. We got time. Okay, Raptor is doing some other stuff. Oh, Raptor.
What are they doing?
I love and hate Raptor at the same time. Okay, Raptor, who's saying they're the leading social gamer network with 12 million users, and they are, because I don't know anybody else that is like Raptor. They've launched a new game rep system to reflect users' skills and experience in the games they play. Users earn ranks by playing games, which will unlock exclusive site features as well as real rewards from retail and game partners. With the launch of a new reputation system, Raptor profiles now reflect a complete picture of a user's gaming persona, their interests, expertise, and achievements as well. The new features are now live at Raptor.com. Earning ranks gains more than simple bragging rights, says Dennis Fong, CEO of Raptor. Our goal is to leverage a user's gaming persona to make their experience better via giving them an outlet to show off their accomplishments, discover more relevant content, or earn rewards simply for playing games. The new gaming ref system allows players to earn ranks starting as a newbie and advancing all the way to elite if they're in the top percentile in time played. Achievements unlocked is figured into that as well, and some other things which you're not mentioning. Raptor also uses a gamer's rep to deliver more relevant content to the user based on their ranked, their progress, and recency of activity in a game. For instance, a gamer who is ranked a newbie in a game may like to see such content as strategy guides and FAQs, while an elite may see the best community-curated machinima videos. Future Raptor features will also leverage a user's gaming rep in a similar fashion. Some of the new features, this is a short list, I guess I can share these with you, include new dynamic user profiles, interactive charts and genre maps, a percentile-based ranking system that tracks a user's hours and achievements and compares them with the rest of the community. The ranks are as follows: newbie, amateur, experience, dedicated, hardcore, and elite. They should have made it elite.
So, yeah, yes, they should have.
Oh, wow. Okay, so there's also social leaderboards to see how our user stacks up against friends, which we don't need because Ginger always makes us feel bad because she's always like level 1 and the next day she's level 80 and we feel bad over here. Highly targeted and personalized news feed that delivers relevant content based on a user's game collection, rank, most recent activity, and progress in a game. Real rewards such as users rank up in the gameplay. More details about the Raptor Rewards program will be announced in coming months. And, of course, you can pop over to Raptor.com to read more or check by our website, GamingMatrix.com. Does we have that up yet? I don't even know. I'm just over here posting stuff like a mad.
I was posting stuff. I don't know. I was just posting.
I'm going to have to check.
I was being plug and play today.
It's all right. We all have those days.
All right. So what have we got? Raspberry Pi Model B pre-order. Did we just do that
one? No, I'm just laughing because it says Raspberry Pi.
Okay. I was like, did we just do that one? I know I'm half listening. I'm staring at my screen. I keep, like, blinking.
Oh, Ginger to the Ginger. Oh.
No, I need some Visine. My eyes are, like, screaming.
It's the Ginger. Jay, this is all your fault.
He totally did. This is all your fault.
Oh, did you see what he said?
What did he
says, if you get GTA, he's taking the day off. So we can play all day. So down.
With a PC?
No. That's an Xbox must. You cannot do that on a PC.
Okay. All right. I may have to look. All right. So Raspberry Pi Model B pre-orders sell out in hours. If you're looking to get your hands on a Raspberry Pi on launch day, you are out of luck. Within hours of announcing the Model B version of the credit card size computers, were available for pre-order, it sold out. The Raspberry Pi Foundation chose two UK resellers, Premier Farnell and RS Components, who have closed pre-orders in favor of taking your email so it can inform you when more are in stock. Similar to the One Laptop Per Child project, the goal of this cheap computer initiative is to get cost-effective computing products into the hands of children around the world. Right now, the demand seems to be coming from enthusiasts and not schools and poor communities, though the evidence on who bought up the first pre-order batch is purely anecdotal. There we go.
Yeah.
I knew this. The first Raspberry Pi computer Model B costs just $35, and it's about the size of a credit card. The Model B features a Broadcom 700 MHz ARM11 processor, 256 megabytes of RAM, and an Ethernet port, an HDMI port, a USB 2.0 port, a 3.5-millimeter audio jack, and is capable of running the Linux operating system from an SD card.
Oh, that is hot. Stop it, Digital.
Yes.
Oh, I can't take it. Okay, go ahead. Go.
So the systems can handle 1080p HD video and is capable of running Quake 3 Arena.
Ooh.
The Raspberry Pi Foundation also noted that its website is getting hammered with traffic today for obvious reasons. Raspberry Pi was conceived by Frontier Development's founder and game programmer David Braben and engineer Eben Upton. The Model A will go into production in a few weeks, but good luck on getting your hands on one if it's in its first run. Hopefully, once the initial pre-order pushes are out of the way, the tiny little computer will prove to be easier to obtain.
The tiny little computer.
Tiny computer.
Went all in the Irish. Oh my god. serious high register. I don't even think I can get up that high. Oh, my God. That is some high register right there. Okay. Continue, ma'am.
No, that's it. That's
oh,
it.
God. I was like, you got to have more after that. Oh, my God. Do we have time for one more? I think we do.
Yeah, we got 5 minutes.
I sure do wish I could breathe and stuff. That would be nice. All right.
Yeah, I know it's all your fault, Jay. Mm-hmm. He says, I do cause eye irritation. Shame on you for not reading the warning label.
Where's this warning? Can cause eye irritation.
Find that warning label.
Look, can cause eye irritation and anal leakage. Okay.
Oh, my God. And she's always talking about that it's me.
I'm sorry. Hey, I'm firing on at least 90% of cylinders today. Not all. So, yeah. The original smartass. Okay, so
apparently, oh my God,
Kingdoms of Amalur, which I say is a great game in spite of their publisher, EA, is made by 38 Studios and Big Huge Games, have unveiled the Legend of Dedkel. Kel was the name of one of my boyfriends, so that makes me very happy to see that. It's the first downloadable content for Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning, the critically acclaimed open-world action role-playing game. I should say that was me. Oh, well. Featuring a mysterious tale of intrigue, danger, and dark magic on the island of Gallows End, players will encounter shadowy characters and enemies and will experience a host of new side quests, treacherous battles, and exciting new challenges. The Legend of Dedkel gives players access to Gallows End, a gigantic new continent to explore where players claim ownership of a vast estate and experience new weapons, twists of fate as well, and other perks against new enemies. The Legend of Dedkel will be available starting March 20th on Xbox Live and the PlayStation Network, Origin, and Steam. Let's see. This is too long to read in the time that we have. Maybe not. Okay, so you got your epic new quest line. It intertwines with numerous side quests, multiple dungeons and to explore, and a colorful cast of characters. You got new enemies, dungeons, and items, multiple new enemies and enemy variants, a new dungeon type called Diverge of Fastings, 3 new Twists of Fate, 8 new armor sets, Jay's cut me just now, 8 new shields, and 18 new unique weapons. You also have the ultimate player housing. Yes, we said player housing, called Gravel Keep. It is more than just player housing. It's a massive estate with multiple buildings and a full retinue of retainers, each with their own backstory, side quest, more to explore. The Legend of Dedkel DLC adds more than 15% of additional land to traverse and explore in the already massively expansive world that is Amalur. Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning has gained critical acclaim in its first week since launch, claiming Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning will be discussed when the Game of the Year 2012 rolls around, is being said. Again, it's being developed by 38 Studios, which is a subsidiary of Big Huge Games in Baltimore, Maryland, and 38 Studios in Providence, Rhode Island, and Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning is now available here in North America and Europe for the Xbox 360 Entertainment System, PlayStation as well, and the PC. You can pop over to Reckoning.com if you want to take a look, if you can break from playing Skyrim, because this sounds like Skyrim all over again. So
it does sound like Skyrim all over again.
And I got to get back in to play my Skyrim because, wow, already behind. And with that, we're going to shut it down for the day because we got a day. What's that supposed to mean?
I'm sleepy.
Well, guys, hope you had a happy Wednesday. We will see you guys tomorrow when you get us twice. Remember, you can find us at GameAnatrix.com, GamerGrowsRadio.com, and here on Block Talk Radio 24 hours, 7 days a week. Keep your ear to the ground when we tell you about our Kickstarter project when it goes live so that you can support the Independent Gamers Network project. And if you'd like to be a part of that, once we get our funding, make sure you commit some cash to it because that's the only way it's going to happen. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Here we go. Link,
take us away.
Burn it. I grabbed some Matrix in. Link, burn it.
You got your glow sticks.
That's right. Keep the glow sticks ready.
Got your big old platform boots on?
I sure do, and they got light jet fish in them.
Rawr, that's hot.
girls,